Welcome to Science Importance, a War Machine and Hordes podcast based out of Buffalo, New York. Today we are here with myself, Bill,
Paul,
and Adam.
And today I think we're going to be talking a little bit about some local tournaments coming up over the next month and a half or so, along with KTOR, which is Adam's current faction of choice. With it last cast we did my faction of choice, so it'll be good to hear from Adam, and then afterward we'll do Paul's faction of choice, and then we'll get into some other factions over the next few podcasts as well. But a little tourney update, we are going to have a tournament on February 10th at Collector's Inn here in Buffalo, run by our very own Adam. It's a 75-point steamroller event on that day. You can find it on Facebook. Adam, I'm sure, will share it on our Facebook page.
Sure did.
Okay, along with our kind of group page, Buffalo War Machine, if you're interested. Please like us there as well. Besides us at Signs Importance, WMH on Facebook. Yeah. Just to get it. We also have another one, I think all three of us are looking to attend, and that's Gail Martindale's tournament at Millennium Games in Rochester, New York on February 24th. That's a 75-point steamroller, and it's a qualifier for the local World Ender Invitational Series, which finalizes at TGX Expo over the summer. So those are what we have coming up. And then last but not least, on March 24th, we have a new event announced.
Yes, I am running a second annual three-man team tournament event. It's a three-man team. Each person brings two 75-point lists. There can be no duplicate casters, so no, like, two Pupitcher ones or something like that. No Haleys. No Haley threes. I don't want to see any of that twice. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of agreement with that. So yeah, that's
not
March.
For Paul.
Oh yeah.
No, I did suggest earlier today getting two other Grimkin guys and just play all six Grimkin casters. It would be pretty fun.
That'd be cool to see, but I don't think people would enjoy that. That's a lot of Arcana. Yeah, so that's March 24th at Collector's Inn as well.
Yeah, and that tournament, as a team tournament, is going to be run as a German-style team tournament, which is a newer format. We heard about it online. Sounded cool. I had proposed it to Adam a while ago there. The idea is instead of the WTC-style pairings, because you don't have five individuals, instead, what you do is you have three tables, one on each end and one in the middle. One on each end, each team puts down a list blind. Then the other team, once they put down their list blind, they have two lists left over. You have two lists left over. You go and see what they put down. You put down what you want to face into that individual list. And then you're trying to guess which list they would have chosen, because down in the middle table goes your last list, blind, both of you. So basically, the idea is that hopefully you have one neutral pairing and then maybe one favorable pairing on each side. So there's no particular, I mean, there's still a team advantage in the sense that you're working with your team and you're trying to get the best pairing process possible, but not one team is picking a greater set of lists than another, like in their WTC where somebody picks three and one team picks two with it.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing how that'll affect list building, because I think that'll change how you go into it. It's going to be more all-comers lists, you know, things that cover more spectrum.
It could.
Yeah, and certain factions might want to be that neutral, you know, play against everything person in the middle table.
Right. I think that's probably... Well, no, see, I didn't think it's the other way. I don't think the neutral faction wants to play in the middle table. They want to be the one that the opponent's picking against.
Maybe that's fair, because yeah. Their opponent's not going to have a great
right
matchup either way.
The one in the middle, you want to try to figure out what they're going to take and do that.
Right, so you might have factions like Grimkin, Protectorate, I would think maybe that to, in that spot, which are both factions that don't, they typically have like some decent game into just about everything.
Right. They're playing your quintessential 50-50.
Yeah. Matchup. Right. Every time for the most part.
Yeah, definitely a possibility there. So we'll see how it goes. First one being run here in Buffalo. I know we're pretty excited. Of course, we can't do a three-man for the guys on the cast because one of them's running it. So,
yeah, that becomes a problem.
Yeah, we'll have to figure it out. I think Paul and I might be on a team. We might ask one of the local guys to see. They want a team with us, so we'll see. So, in any case, let's talk about a little Kador here. Kador is a faction that is in an interesting place in the meta. Everyone here seems to have a little bit of different judgment on how they are doing in the meta. I think one of the big things for them before we get into our format of the cast, though, is that now that the Krix CID and the old Ghost Fleet is definitely gone, we are, I think they're in a much better place with that type of game back. They had a huge problem with Ghost Fleet and taking it out as a pairing. And to win a tournament, you pretty much needed to be able to play against Krix at some point. So therefore...
And if you played Kador, you got Ghost Fleet. You never got the other lists because you just never had a great answer. So
lack of magic attacks and lack of RFP.
Yeah, you could have one of those things usually in any given theme force, but not all of the tools.
Because I believe there's only two spells that give me RFP in all of Kador. And one's on Butcher 3 and one's on Sorcerer 2. Which, not a lot of people are playing Sorcerer 2 right now.
No.
Yeah, and the problem with Sorcerer 2 at the time seemed to be if you played against Krix, you were pretty happy. And then a lot of the other factions, you kind of had a semi-dead dead right. list.
But now you don't have to worry about that, so we'll go ahead and see what happens there or where it becomes. But I think we want to tackle Kador... by theme lists for this one. So maybe we'll talk about each theme's list viability, where it lies in people's pairings, and then maybe talk about a couple casters that we like to see in each of them, some of which we'll even have first-hand experience from Adam, and we'll have Adam throw up a few lists that he talked about so that people can see them up on our Facebook page, too. So make sure you go ahead and like that Facebook page so you can... check out Adam's list. I just put him on the spot there.
Oh, man. Well, I can't give out my OTC pairing.
Secret tech.
That's okay. I got some extra ones. I'm really looking forward to Man of War CID, just in case anyone's curious. I know these guys know it.
Yes, yeah, so Mark II, Adam played a ton of Man of War, especially with Butcher 1. He kind of hasn't been playing much of them in Mark 3, but with the CID coming up next after the Legion CID ending up here this week, I expect to see plenty from Adam. I'm sure he will, and I'm sure we'll all love to play against him, try out some of the CID stuff. We haven't done a lot of that in our group, but hopefully with the OTC being almost over, he will go ahead and give that new CID a try.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to talk about more Armored Core much at all, just because it's gonna go into CID. Everything's gonna be radically different when that CID comes out. So that theme force isn't really, practically speaking, viable at the moment. So, but we'll definitely revisit it.
No, I definitely don't think you'll see that in any tournaments. Although there was that one guy playing in the ATC, right? Had it, I think.
Yeah.
You could play it right now. It's just you have access to probably 50% of the models that you're going to have access to eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely going to be something different there. So. But all right. So, let's go in order in which they're listed in War Room. If who wants to start off?
I can start off, because I have some good experience with this.
All right, so the first one's Winter Guard Command.
All right, the Winter Guard Command You could take Kador casters, non-character warjacks, assault commandos, models and units, Kador guard or winter guard models and units, Widowmaker models and units, battle mechanics, Andre Malakoff, and the War Dog solo. Benefits: this army also can include one non-character mercenary solo and one mercenary unit that will work for Kador. These models can be included even if they have the partisan Kador special rule. Mercenary units in this army can include attachments. For every full 20 points of Winter Guard models slash units in this army, you can add one Winter Guard weapons crew unit, Winter Guard command attachment, or Winter Guard artillery captain solo to the army free of cost. Free models do not count towards the total points values of Winter Guard models or units in the army when calculating this bonus. Another benefit is Warcasters in this army gain Sacrificial Pawn. Winter Guard Trooper model: when a model with Sacrificial Pawn Winter Guard Trooper model is directly hit by an enemy range attack, you can have one friendly, non-incorporeal Winter Guard Trooper model within 3 inches of it directly hit instead. That model is automatically hit and suffers all damage and effects. And then the last benefit is, for each Winter Guard unit in this army, one Kador Heavy Warjack in this army can gain advanced move before the start of the game, but after both players have deployed, a model with advanced move can make a full advance. That is a long text, but I really like this game theme, mostly because the ability to protect your caster from range attacks with the Sacrificial Pawn, because you can just take a min unit for
6 points,
right? Six points. Yeah. And just have 6 sac pawn targets just hanging around your caster the whole game. That can be really useful late game because of CRA.
Yeah, you can even take that min unit, and if you really want, min unit of Winter Guard infantry, and you can still stick 3 rockets on it. So it's still an actual, like, effective damage-causing unit as well, which I have seen people do.
And it procs advanced move for the jacks.
Sure, and you could do multiple instances of that too if you need to.
Right.
So, with this theme, like I said, I think we're going to talk about some casters that we find interesting in it, or in Adam's case, maybe he's played, for us, played against, or maybe even ones that we feared or have seen list for. So I guess the question is what two casters we want to talk about here? I feel like one of them we kind of have to talk about, right? And yeah. That's Vlad One.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't go and talk about a Kador cast with one of the two factions that has our namesake ability in it and not talk about it.
Well, that's true.
One of the key here is with this theme is that those units, whether you take Winter Guard Rifle Corps, whether you take one of the weapons crews, whether you take the regular infantry guys, is the Rat 5 base.
Yeah, that's a little hard to get around without any kind of buffs. You could do CRAs, but that lack, you know, then you're starting to lose attacks.
Yeah, this team does also have the Winter Guard, the weapons crew, forgetting the name now.
The field gun.
Yeah, that does have knockdown.
Yep.
So that also fixes the rat problem, but with Vlad, you might not need it just because you're going to be rat 5 with 3 dice dropping the lowest, possibly 1 unit as well, because you're always going to see Kovnik Joe in this list, so one of your units can be, you know, that rat 7 with signs importance.
Well, and Heath key here too. If we say that this theme, the main benefit is that you can protect your caster, but then the other part of that is allowing Winter Guard. I think we have to look at it and say, well, why? What do we need to do for those Winter Guard? You know, you're going to be taking 60 points in infantry at least, most likely, is to get your 3 free weapons crews or solos. So in doing so, you're going to want to be able to buff that. And I don't think anybody buffs Winter Guard alone better than Vlad One himself.
Yeah, with Sign's importance, it really fixes their hit and then just ramps up the damage of those rockets, making them heavy killers.
And it's consistent, too. It's not like, there's other casters, like Butcher One, for example, who could make the rockets hit harder for a turn, but Vlad just does it for the entire game. Every single turn. So it may not have the raw damage output of some of the other casters for one turn, but it's going to be, those rockets are going to be shooting you for 4, 5, 6 turns, potentially.
Right. So you have those sorts of things. You still need Jax, and Vlad 1 still offers a pretty reasonable amount to Jax as well. Of course, there are signs importance, but he also offers up a few other things for them as well. Between his feet, speeding him up plus 4 inches, and maybe this is just a minions player in me talking, but Boundless Charge is no slouch.
That's huge for Kador heavies. It's a huge spell for them.
Yeah, so with his feet, Jax doubles his speed and can run, charge, make power attacks without spending focus also.
Right.
Yeah, you never expect a Kador Jax to go as far as it does with Vlad when he casts Boundless Charge, and, you know, it's all of a sudden charging, 13 inches.
Well, threats 13.
Right, threatening 13 inches.
So does this mean that... Does this mean with Vlad we expect to see it, or when we do see this, that obviously the Winter Guard are probably not leading the charge, instead Jax might be leading the charge and Winter Guard might be mopping up the rest?
Yes, you can. His Warjack points are 28, so you can almost squeeze 3 Marauders in there.
Oh, so what I'm hearing is take 3 Marauders and then fill it up with guys with fuzzy hats.
Pretty much. The rockets.
And we already mentioned the sack pawn aspect of the theme force, but he's extra hard to kill with guns because he also has Windwall, so he can't be, if he wants to, he can cast Windwall plus Signs Importance if he can stay safe or on vital turns, and be immune to non-magical guns, and then if he gets targeted by actual magical guns, then he can just sack pawn them off to his Winter Guard buddies.
Yeah, I like it, especially since Iris 1 has that disruptor bolt, right? I just, being able to sack that off to a random Winter Guard instead of losing all my focus next turn is huge.
Right, because it is magical, so it can shoot through Windwall.
Yep.
But, of course, I guess the thing that stands out to me with this theme, though, is the things that you can't take. One of the first benefits there is allows you to take one non-character mercenary solo or unit. And oddly enough, and kind of awkwardly, the whole non-character mercenary solo portion of this really hurts. Majority of the solos that Kator can take are characters, at least the ones you want to. You literally can only take, when it comes to solos anyways, it's like 2 different... Yeah, it's 2. You can take a Gobber Tinker and an Ogryn Bukor for solos out of faction.
Yeah.
With this, I think this might be one of the few, if not the only... iteration where that type of wording is given for that benefit.
Yeah, and the main culprit is probably Reinhold, we would guess, right? Just because that way, stealth is a real benefit against this list. If your caster has stealth or a way to give themselves stealth, that's a great way to stay safe, because I think at one point this theme may have allowed... Or there's, discussions in Kador CID about Reinhold being available in their themes, and it just radically changes everything when now the rockets can actually, your caster loses stealth, and then Vlad's Signs Importance rockets and Winter Guard Rifle Corps get to shoot you from long distances.
Yeah, that's also the same reason why we can't take the Battle Engine for Mercs.
Right, yeah, the Rulic engine. So.
Sure, but that's fewer and far between. There's very few factions can take mercenary and minion battle engines in their themes. There's very few of those.
That's true.
Yeah, I think so, Signar can take the dwarf battle engine, mm-hmm. but
yes, in their Warjack one.
Yeah,
but like I said, that's few and far between. Where it's not uncommon to be able to take merc solos. Like, yeah, I get that Reinhold might be a little busted, but you're missing out on some good stuff there. You're a Hachuk.
Yeah,
Gorman.
Saxon Orc.
Yeah, I guess Saxon Orc. Part of the problem is maybe one of the other reasons is because of because as you mentioned before, Iris One going the other way. We're not talking about her here, but Iris One with the Winterguard theme and Sorcerer One.
You can still take character mercenary units though, so you can take one that's pretty common is to take Ayana and Holt in that theme.
Not really.
It's not super common because you can't put Valachev on them, but you can. It's still a way to give you magical weapons that you don't otherwise have.
And that's incorrect. You can put Valachev on them.
You can put Valachev, so there you go. Okay.
The problem is you're also losing either a weapon attachment or a solo at that point, usually.
Because the amount of points that you're putting into it?
Yeah, it's 12-point package.
Yeah, in certain instances, though, like, for example, that Crix problem that Kator was having, that it still has with Incorporeal to a certain extent, you may have to pay that tax and give up a weapons crew or something else to get some access to Incorporeal or magical weapons in that theme force. That is a real Achilles heel of the Winterguard list. Things like Gremlin Swarms, Wraith Engines is pretty terrifying for the most part.
Yes. I find myself always taking the objective for magical weapons in that list when I can get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing too, is that you just can't count on it, and it may disappear after turn three you may not have that anymore.
Well, and that's assuming that you're playing the 50% of scenarios that have.
Yeah, exactly. You might not even have access to that less at all, right? So it's far from a thing that you can count on. So if you're building this list for Crix, then you have to at least consider putting Ayana and Holt in there.
Yeah, it's definitely something. So, but nonetheless, the theme's pretty broad in that case. The advanced move is shockingly good. We said already that Kator Jax are slow, and just being able to get up there a little bit to start things off can go a long way for them. Now, maybe not in Vlad 1, but maybe in our second caster.
In my opinion, the second caster is Old Witch 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
The ability to protect her army on the way up from shooting is super strong. It allows me to get into position to shoot you back.
Yeah, an 18 access to an 18-inch windstorm goes a long way to keeping those Winter Guard on the board, especially the rockets, because that's another problem with that list is rockets no longer have take up. So if you can single out the Rocketeers, it loses a lot of hitting power. But when those rockets are protected by Windstorm, that suddenly gets a lot harder to do.
See, for me, the other interesting aspect of it isn't just Windstorm. I mean, Windstorm is kind of like Signs Importance. It's almost always good. As long as your opponent brings a range weapon of any sort, it's pretty damn good. The one that interests me for Old Witches is that you're always now threatening the Papa Drop. You can always go and you can Scourge and then drop CRA'd Rifle Corps, a rocket that is in the list. Now all become viable ways of just ending your opponent.
Plus Curse of Shadows too. I mean, Scourge then Curse of Shadows.
And the blind gun.
Yeah, you can also blind them. You don't even have to do that to a caster. I mean, you can if you just Scourge Curse of Shadows a heavy or something.
Well, something like a circle warp wolf that's 17 armor. You put it on its butt. Now all of a sudden, rockets are killing it. You don't put it on its butt. Rockets probably are not.
Probably can't hit it.
Yeah, probably aren't killing it. Maybe they hit one or two, do a little bit to it, but it's still going to be on the board. It's still a beast. It can still do a large sum of damage. But now, with that sort of stuff between blind or scourge, you're...
Another cute thing with her that I have done in Grimkin, but also applicable here, is with Curse of Shadows, it's not just minus two arm, but the model and unit can't make free strikes. And one of the ways to deal with guns commonly is to run melee units or beasts in the middle of them and engage all of them. Okay. Winter Guard Rifle Corps are very sad when they're being engaged by something like Satixis Raiders or something on that sort. And if you can catch a model that's not engaging one of your Winter Guard, maybe cast Curse of Shadows on it. And now those Winter Guard can safely just walk out of melee, possibly into back arcs too, and start taking shots. That's something that people don't see coming as much. Most people just think of Curse of Shadows as, oh yeah, okay, I get minus two armor, but you can move straight through those guys into their back arc, shoot them in the back, or at least unengage yourself.
I've actually had experience with this. I was jammed by a unit of Bane Riders, and I Curse of Shadows one, walked my whole unit through them, killed the stuff behind them, and then had the other stuff behind my Rifle Corps kill the unengaged Bane Riders.
Yeah, and that's something that probably, you know, your opponent just did not think of at all. Like, I'm sure your opponent realized that you had Curse of Shadows on your card, but just completely forgot about that aspect of it.
Yeah, that one side collapsed. That was
kind of funny, since Bane Riders usually uses Curse Shadows to move to the middle or back lines of your opponent's stuff.
Right. That's usually the Crick spell, not the Kador spell.
Well, yeah, debuff spells in general were kind of weird out of Kador, but
yeah, it's different.
But Old Witch is, I mean, Old Witch, she has a really good toolbox, and I think that it might be best with this theme, but it's possible that it's not. There are certainly other themes that she could be playing with as well.
Well, and then she still has Boundless Charge as well. So great on Kator Heavies. Plus one of her Arcane Machinery effects lets her power a jack for, you know, for one focus between power up, and then using that power magnifier effect, she's got a fully loaded Kator jack. Plus a reconstruct on Kator jacks is really obnoxious. Since being armor 20, and then they just come back with a usually with Kator jacks, you go in and if you're gonna one round them with one heavy, you're usually spending all of your attacks. You may not have any other resources left that can punch through armor 20 like that. And if that jack just comes back within 3 inches out of melee of whatever just killed it and then is fully functional, that can be a pretty bad time.
I really like it on clam jacks.
Oh god.
Because they're just armor 23 and sitting there waiting to explode, usually because I take the one that has Reign of Death.
My problem is with clam jacks though, is that they don't have the damage output, and it feels like that if you're taking a ton of Winter Guard, that if you're taking a bunch of Winter Guard, you also need something that's got some punch behind it with that Boundless Charge. So a Devastator, the problem is he maxes out at 16 pow for his fist. So Old Witch, except for Curse of Shadows, isn't really helping that. And even 18, after spending as much focus as you are on it, is a little tough between having to cast a spell and fuel your guy there. So I feel like starting with something a little bit bigger and better is still probably better there, but I could see it in maybe another one of these themes, something that the infantry itself hits hard.
Yeah, I like the Devastator mostly because its ability to hold zones.
Sure. All right. Well, nonetheless, those are our look and our choices there for Winter Guard Command. Anything else about this theme list? It's been out longer than any of the other theme lists for Kador, so it's been around the block. It even got nerfed at one point already because they realized how silly it was being able to sack pawn to the gun carriage.
Also, it changed. You used to be able to just get advanced move on your jacks, on all of your jacks, without having to take winter guard. So people were playing the theme force and just taking 10 Kador jacks to kind of
free. Yeah, and that's not that bad to deal with, especially when the free gun crews do count toward that benefit. I do think that this theme force, though, especially since it was played so much early on, may have very well been the nail in the coffin for Joe when we saw him get nerfed in Mark III, going down from boosted attack rolls to his plus two, so basically losing 1.5 in efficiency.
Yeah, that really upset me.
There's more casters that you could see it with too, but like both Sorshas are definitely viable.
Oh, both Sorshas.
You could play Butcher 1, Butcher. I've seen Butcher 3. You know, Butcher 3 coming across the board at you with a bunch of sack pawns around him.
Well, I think the big key here is it's nice to buff it if you're going to take 60 points plus of infantry. But truthfully, you put Joe in, and because of CRA and then the rockets and everything else, they can play on their own. They don't need or have to have support if you want a gun. The question is where do we think that this list is particularly viable in the meta now? Do we still see it as much? I personally haven't seen it as much, but playing minions lately, I come with a lot of anti range tech, so I don't find people wanting to play their range list into me very often. But the question is it that the theme apocalypse that we had really changed it up and people are just giving other things a whirl for a while?
Well, I personally would not play this list against you when you have Rask.
Okay.
Or Barnabas.
Why do you say that? Just because of the anti-range?
Yeah, the whole... Because your feet just nixes my ability to shoot you before you come in.
Okay.
There's a real problem with that. It really needs to get the first shot off. And if I can't do that, I'm already starting on my heels.
Yeah, it seems like it needs to alpha you pretty hard with its guns, or else it's going to slowly lose from that point.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, like I said, I just don't tend to see it a lot. I've moved on a bit from Barnabas, playing some Jaga instead to go with my Rask list. But, yeah, I could definitely see that being a pretty big concern in the end. But
you see it less with Vlad nowadays, but I still see some Old Witch with this list running around.
Sure, and some of that might be, there's nothing wrong with Vlad, but Vlad might get a little vanilla over a period of time. He can get kind of straightforward and boring. A lot of times he's sticking focus on Jax and then casting signs of importance.
Yeah, Old Witch is definitely more dynamic. Plus she opens up more assassination games than Vlad did.
Also, I really like that model. I really like fielding that model. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, you should be getting yours back here soon, right?
Yep. Hopefully with this next week.
Woohoo! We're going to get shot with the real thing and not a plastic base now.
I know.
Looking forward to painting mine.
That's fair.
That's why I had someone else do it.
Yeah, you know, I need to do that.
Not that good a painter.
Well, I look forward to seeing it, but maybe as I change up some casters, I'll see him or see her a little bit more. So, all right. So next theme up, our next theme up is
Jaws of the Wolf.
All right. Jaws of the Wolf. Okay. Let's see here. Jaws of the Wolf is the Kador Jack theme. Army and the Steam Forces allow Kador Warcasters, non-character Warjacks. The only exception to that is Behemoth, Battle Mechanic model units, Kozite models and units, Chaozzi models and units, Widowmakers models and units, Mr. Yuri the Axe, Great Lorge Forge Seers, Manhunter Solos, and the War Puppy. All right, so the theme. the theme as it is now, since it was nerfed as well, allows a mercenary solo or and a mercenary unit to exist within it. For this as well, you can take 25 points of Jax and get a free Kador command attachment or Kador solo, so not the merc or minion that you may take with it. Its benefits allows battle mechanics to reposition 3, and enemy models lose the ambush special rule with this. Okay, so where's our thoughts with this one?
It's a little more flexible than just being a Jack theme, but just because, I mean, you do have access to Kayazi, you can, multiple units anyways. Some of the other theme forces, you can bring a unit as like your mercenary option, but
I want people to know that when I asked for thoughts on this, Adam just sighed and noticed that he hasn't said anything yet, and Paul went first, and now he's laughing at me because I think we're gonna see some, or I feel like we may see some pretty strong opinions on this one from Adam.
So when they nerfed it, they gave it the ability to stop ambushing. And to tell you the truth,
what did it lose?
It lost the ability to take away advanced deploy.
Okay. But you weren't the only one. There were other lists that got hit there, too. There was a Legion list that also...
That's true. But the problem is, I almost think of that as a non-ability, because I actually haven't had someone ambush me since.
Okay. Well, you haven't played a ton of this after it got changed.
No, I meant just in any game.
Oh, well. Huh. That's actually a good question, or that we can talk about, maybe just for, it's a little bit of a tangent, but still. Ambush. So this is something where, in Mark II, I at least felt ambush was just too high costed for what existed out there. But it seems like we're seeing this quite a bit more often in theme benefits now, where units gain ambush. Wolves of Orbros game ambush in Circle in one of their themes. Bloodrunners game ambush in one of their themes. Minions lately seem to have picked up a large quantity of ambush items, along with their ambushing unit getting considerably cheaper, losing 3 points after the CID. What other factions, what other theme lists give
ambush? You mentioned Murder Crows out of Bump in the Night.
Bump in the Night with Murder Crows. There's a... is there another one?
I mean, Ravens of War with Grotesques, but... Mm. You can get the Grotesque Raiders ambush.
Yep. Okay. So we're seeing it as a more popular theme benefit. The question is it more worth it now in this new Steamroller pack? Because I'm starting to find that it's not so bad. I've been putting ambushers, usually just a min of Bogtrog ambushers in my list sometimes, and they haven't been horrible. Still a little hard to find points for them, but it feels like this Steamroller packet being a little bit more spread out, having a special zone that only your units can score, the ability to come in off the side and just sit in those side zones when maybe they're, let's say, a 12-inch circle, they're sitting on the other side of it, the more centered side of it. Is where they're sitting they're contesting or controlling pieces, and you're popping in and controlling things on the other side, blocking their control points. So maybe it's more viable now.
Maybe. Did you mention the Husk?
Yeah, I just said minions in general gaining quite a bit. But yes, the Gatorman Husk, that's something that I won't comment too much on, but we did just get the rules. Yesterday, with the release of the LVO models, or the release of the models at LVO, so actually all the minion CID rules are out. Yes, the Gatorman Husk is one of those, and that's one that I haven't given much try leading up to things, but again, I could definitely see it being a pretty big deal. I'm a little more excited about its advanced deploy, though, than I am its ambush, because I think it's something I'm going to want right in the game right away. But nonetheless, yes, definitely 100% sure that you may be seeing those sorts of things more. The question is it worth the theme bonus to get rid of it?
Yeah. And then I'm not really thrilled about the other bonus that it gives you.
No?
The Repo 3 on mechanics.
It's okay. I mean, it's fine. it's not a game-breaking, ability or anything, but...
It's mostly the combination of the two that make me wonder why I would take this over others. Like, some of the other themes are quite powerful. Like, Sackpon is really strong into some things. And then some of the other themes we mentioned, their benefits are much more powerful than what I'm getting out of this theme.
That's fair. I think the question there is do you want free Forge Seers?
Always.
Right.
Because that feels like that's the reason why you're taking this, is for the free Forge Seers, using the free Forge Seers. But I definitely agree that I do think it's one of Kador's weaker themes at the moment. I think there's two themes that stand out more than the rest, and that is the Winter Guard theme, and one that we're going to get to, which is Legion of Steel. But there are definitely some viable casters here for this theme. So for me, one of the viable casters and probably one of the more fun ones to watch run on the board would be Karchev the Terrible.
It's so fun that he's good now opposed to Mark II. It's nice to see him on the board, even though I hate playing against him.
He was something I tried or wanted to get to work in Mark II, but he was always so focus starved. And I think with the power up ability for Jax now, it's changed him more than he himself have changed.
Sure, I think that might be all Jack casters, right? We see things like Amon and stuff really favoring the whole idea that power-up's a thing now.
Karchev loves his free Forge Seers as well. He's anything that can give him more focus than his Focus 6. I mean, he's still focus-strapped. Right. Not as much as he was.
Yeah, and Karchev gives you some versatility of what you can do with those Jacks too, right? He has... two spells that really go toward Jax there. Unfortunately, you can only have one of them up at a time. But one of them is Battle Charged, and Counter Charge is just an amazing deterrent at times. Now,
especially when there's like 8 or more heavies that all have Counter Charge, it's tough to get in on one of them without setting up a counter charge by one or two others.
I also wanted to make the point that with the Forge Seers and his feet, Karchev is actually a good Crix drop.
Yeah.
Because he gets magic weapons on his feet turn. The Forge Seers have the magic ability, was it Horror Frost?
Yeah. You could also, this is the theme force too, where you can, people have taken Behemoth marshaled to a Forge Seer, and the two Forge Seers kind of tag team Behemoth, and, he gets magical blessed weapons, so his guns especially are blessed and magical, and the Forge Seers team up to give Behemoth 2 focus a turn with his blessed magical guns. Karchev also got a nice little buff with the Unyielding change, because now he's just +2 arm against melee damage rolls rather than having to be engaging a model. So you can't just knock him down and go in on him in melee. He's just armor 21 against melee attacks all the time.
It's gross.
With 34 boxes at armor 21 plus, some amount of focus that he can have, he's one of the most difficult casters to kill in the game, and it just got slightly, ever so slightly more difficult.
Yeah, and then his second Jack ability, which is as a circle player and a minions player, is something that I get excited about, is Road to War, which is basically, or was known as Warpath. So basically, a friendly faction model kills a model with melee or range attack, and he just goes ahead and one of those battle group model moves 3 inches.
Yeah, I really like this with Widowmakers, as they can just plank out with single wound infantry.
Oh gosh, yes.
And just move jacks, like 4 Widowmakers can make 4 jacks move.
Yeah. And
it's very strong.
Pretty reliably.
Yeah.
Too.
I think the only thing is and this is with this theme as a whole, and Widowmakers definitely helped this quite a bit, is you still are in this steamroller packet, and you're going to hear me say this over and over and over again. I feel like, and I know this isn't necessarily how everyone feels, I feel like to do well in this steamroller, you really need units. Just with, if you're playing any of the scenarios that have just 2 circles to them, it's too hard to try to keep up on control points, in my opinion, without this sort of thing. So at least that's my feeling. I don't build lists without 2 units, even if it's just silly units. Like this team could always take something like battle mechanics as their score if they had to.
Yeah, usually I take a unit of battle mechanics and a unit of Widowmakers. So I usually do have 2 units in this list.
The mechanics are always seem pretty happy to sit in a zone if they have to. And, you know, you can just leave him behind if you really have to score.
Well, and with Karchev, they're particularly interesting, too, because they can repair Karchev. Because yeah. If he wasn't survivable enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Forge Seers.
That's true. They can repair Forge Seers as well.
Oh, yeah, because they're Man of War. Oh, nifty. Okay. Yeah, sure, why not? Why not? The one thing that I think people always forget when they play against Karchev, and I think really puts him into the possible competitive caster range for Kador, is him himself not only just being survivable, but he brings an amazing spray attack. So he has a spray attack that's rat 5, so you're probably having to boost it, which stinks to an extent. But it's spray 10, pow 12, and most importantly there is it's not crit, but it's just knockdown, whatever you might hit there. So that can really go a long way for furthering your lists and what they can do there, having that strong range attack coming from your caster to support your army.
He also has a, you know, 2-inch melee pow 19 at mat 7. So he can also get in there and really, you know, kill a heavy if he has to.
Right, and with the War Puppy, he is in the new unyielding change. Oh, I just vomited a little in my mouth. He is a 14-21.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And he's still that 21 even when he's knocked down.
Hey, you stop laughing over there and start playing this guy more often.
Yeah, well, he's terrifying.
Also, I really like him with Reinhold. Because you could do 2 sprays.
Yes, that is a thing.
Or if you really need to hit, you can give him lucky.
And
sure.
Yeah. And then speaking of playing this theme into cricks, if you want to, that spray's magical.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that either, having that magical spray there. So, all right, so what about second caster?
I'm going to say this, but it's definitely Harkovich.
Yeah, kind of similar to Karchev, but he does some different, has some different aspects to him.
He's got the +3 arm feat, which if you are taking clam jacks is really dumb. Really, really dumb. But he also has the ability to give his jacks +2 speed in Pathfinder through escort. Or no, I'm sorry, mobility.
Yeah,
Which is super strong, And because he has Field Marshal Reposition 3, so you can get those Kodiaks to make you a Cloud Wall. And then you move up, and then next turn, you use Mobility and just charge and then pop your feet.
Yeah, I don't see him as much anymore, part for a couple reasons, I think. It seems like he's... Everybody that I've heard who has played him, I think Adam included, has said, this guy is very boring. Why am I playing? Why am I doing this?
He is a one-trick pony.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also just... He's so much easier to kill than Karchev, because he's... A lot of the times he's casting mobility and may want to allocate a couple. So sometimes, even with Iron Sentinel, he can be killable. If you have any way to displace that Jack that he's base to base with, or, you know, move him somehow, like telekinesis, anything like that, he is a lot easier to kill. I mean, he's still difficult, especially on his feet turn. He's still a Kador caster with 18 boxes, but I mean, as compared to Karchev, you know, this guy is far easier to kill.
Yeah, because you're always keeping like one Kodiak back to protect him, pop the cloud and then be a sentinel. So that's 13 points. You're just
kind of tied down to your caster.
Well, Steve, I think you're doing it that way. You don't need to, unless they have something to see through clouds. I don't think you need, if you're using Kodiak to make the cloud wall and then repositioning out of them, I don't think you need something to sit there and be that Iron Sentinel target. It's when you don't. You know, maybe taking a shooty jack like a destroyer or something like that will really allow you to do something. But yeah, boring is a problem. I do think, though, for somebody coming into Kador, especially if they're really intrigued by the jacks and they're learning the faction and what it does, it's hard for me to not believe that I would say, hey, buddy, I think you want to try out some jacks.
Right.
Here, try this guy. Pretty good for that.
Yeah, if you did something like get the battle box plus the 2017 army box with the Iron Fangs, and you play the a Legion of Steel list with your Iron Fangs and Harkovich with all of your jacks, seems like an excellent place to start for sure.
Advice for new players: if you do pick up this caster, broadside is what we call a trap spell. It is much too costly, and all your jacks are at 4. You can't boost it because it's out of activation. It's too expensive for what it does.
But
it's,
yeah. You know what I'm gonna say?
I've never seen this spell be good.
No, that's not true.
With this caster,
absolutely.
Ugh, it's...
I'm gonna make the argument.
Go ahead,
go for it.
I'm gonna do it. Double Victor.
Great. You can shoot your giant AoE 5 gun that never hits anything directly.
I wanted to do it so bad in Mark 2, and the damn Victor never came out when I was playing Kador.
Sure, you can light all my stuff on fire, like the entire, like everything, and then you'll just be extremely sad when you play against like trolls or just beast bricks or other armor bricks. And
well, let's not forget scenario.
Yeah, too yeah, colossal. Sure. You're gonna take double victors in this scenario packet.
That's the problem. There is, I think as a whole, double gargantuan, double colossal is kind of ruined by this scenario packet, and that's coming from a guy who owns 2 Woldrafts and played some double Woldraff Baldur 2.
I mean, I agree. I own 2 Stormwalls, and it's just not something that's feasible anymore. So, but I agree with that. We agree with Adam. At least I agree with Adam. Like Billy, broadsides don't do it.
Oh, I only think that you do it if you're playing Victor.
don't cast it. Cast mobility instead.
So, yes, cast mobility always.
Well, yeah, that spell seems to be the key why you're playing this caster. There's really 3 reasons why you'd be playing this caster: the feet, mobility, and his field marshal.
Yeah,
for reposition. So you're basically, and why it fits this theme, is because you're doing all of that for jacks. you're not going to go and play a wall of Iron Fangs with this caster. He does nothing. Like, I think actually he might do the epitome of nothing.
Yeah, he really does nothing. He does nothing.
Literally nothing for infantry models.
Jumpstart can be really good in some matchups, though.
Yeah, it's corner case useful. You're not going to cast this most games, but definitely.
When someone TKs your Warjack backwards, I find it very good.
Sure.
Yeah, that's probably the best use for it. I mean, you could also have some weird situation where your Jack's facing the wrong way after it charges something and you want it to charge something else the next turn. Mm-hmm. But
or mass knockdown.
Yeah.
All right. I think
it's a good counter to Krios 1 feet, I guess, or something similar.
I think there's a good chance here that we may have talked about Harkovic for way too long. Yes, we did. We should have.
He seems worse version of Karchev at the moment, at least.
All right. And then next up for theme lists, we have Legion of Steel. I read one. He read one. Paul, you're up.
Okay. So you can take Kador Warcasters, non-character Warjacks, Iron Fang model slash units, Battle Mechanic units, Wardog solos. So probably the most restrictive list so far. Maybe the Winter Guard list is about the same. You can include one mercenary solo and one non-character unit that will work for Kador.
It's like hitting these non-character.
Yeah, it's a little... You get the non-character unit, but the it can be a character solo, which is the opposite of the Winter Guard theme, but...
Still better this way.
Right. For every full 20 points of Iron Fang models slash units, you can add one Kador command attachment or small base Kador solo to the army for free. Great Bears and Iron Fang solos gain counter charge. This is the money maker.
So good.
One small based Iron Fang unit gains advanced move.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that ability either, but...
No, but the counter charge is the game changer in this list. Yeah.
And I think we let our Kador counterpart here start talking about this theme and picking the first caster. I'm hoping he picks...
Is this your favorite theme, Adam?
Yes. It is, in fact, my favorite theme out of all of them.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, in my opinion, I think that people need to explore this theme more in many other casters.
Yes.
And we're only going to talk about two today, but...
so many.
And I have one particularly I would like to talk about, but and maybe this is my legacy from Kador in the past after we give Adam his. I'm hoping Adam picks the one I think he's going to. We don't actually know. But this theme, there is probably 60 to 70% of the casters in the faction can run this theme extremely well and all offer up different reasonings why they can run this theme particularly well.
Okay, so my pick actually will probably surprise my co-hosts here, but I'm going to say Iris 2.
What?
Boo!
What? No. I mean, yes, that's good, but... Okay, talk about Iris.
All right, so my favorite thing is to run the... Kovnik Markov with this list, and this caster gives me two tactician bubbles that are both 10 inches. The ability to countercharge through your own models is huge, and being able to spread that over two sides gives me a lot of play. You got total obedience, which gives them all tough. The Kovniks give them all no sleeping on the job. So they're tough, no knockdown. Back to good old Mark II tough. You have Battle Lust, which I find POW 13 Weapon Masters with Reach and Mat 8 with Sophia is very impressive.
That kills stuff.
That kills...
A little bit.
The things. Like, just being able to hit anything you want, pretty much, especially when you have CMA. And then when you hit it, it's Weapon Master, kills things. You got the crit knockdowns, which really affect some models. It's very strong. And then you have Solid Ground, if you do lose a Kovnik or two. It helps you survive against the blast damage, more no knockdown, and then with regular IFP, if I pop feet, I can just charge through a forest. You know, I walk behind it, can't see me, can't shoot me, all of a sudden, bam, charging Iron Fang through a forest. I think he's very strong.
He's very versatile. He's got a lot of tools to make them really good. I mean, that 10-inch, two 10-inch tactician bubbles is... I mean, tactician is a rule that I feel like if you haven't played a list like that before, you don't have an appreciation for how amazing it is.
Well, the big thing for tactician in this one, where it's not seen anywhere else in the game, is like tactician's good at allowing you to make mistakes or clump things together because you want to. But in this one, it allows you to do something on your opponent's turn, and that's where it gets dirty, and that's the fact that you can sit stuff behind, see things, and then countercharge them through your own models on your opponent's turn.
Yeah, your Iron Fang Kovniks.
And they're weapon masters, so when they hit hard. About 12s.
It's not even that. It's weapon master with precision strike, so I can charge you and just be like, that spirit was cute.
Yeah. Yeah, and charge you at, you know, nine with Sophia. Yeah. So you're good. The odds of hitting that are very, very high.
Well, that's an interesting thing too. It's like they didn't even give in the Christmas update that much to this theme, but it feels like it's that much to this theme.
She's very dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, am I wrong with that? She's good at contester. She helps out your army. She gets countercharged in this theme, because why not?
She's hard to kill.
Yeah, she's just hard to kill in general, which is why I call her a good contester.
She has a weapon master shield, which is sweet.
Is that she?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
She's I think she's like one of two. If Pyrrhus has a weapon master shield.
Well,
yeah, she's one of a couple models with iron with
she's
weapon master.
Good with her shield.
She's a shield guard too. Now that I read her rules,
she sure does.
So.
Which is something this theme really didn't have, unless you picked up a jack with it, which is only one jack
Rager.
That you could take in that theme. Yeah, Rager, which you don't want to.
No.
By the way, just as a side, we said we're not going to cover Armored Core tonight because they're going to go in CID, but. I think Kador Jax, outside of some of the characters, are in really good spots, except for that chassis. I hope the Rager chassis, Rager Berserker, and Mad Dog, I hope that ends up in the Armor Core. Like, it seems like they're choosing some sort of heavy or light, or some sort of beast or Jack in all these CIDs, and I'm really hoping, for the sake of Kador, being able to use those things, that shows up. Because especially the Rager feels like it would actually kind of be theming in that with the Manowar, having this Jack with a shield and shield guard.
Yeah, I haven't fielded one since they were nerfed.
I've never seen them. I haven't seen those on the table in a long time. But
well, it's 11 points and you can buy a Marauder for 10.
Right.
Or take a Pakor.
Like, what's that?
Or take a Pakor.
Sure, and you could do that in here because you could take Merc solos. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot to it. This list with the Roost, because we already put out there, is just ridiculous. I think Battlelust is also just a huge aspect to this as well. Just Battlelust is a strong spell. You can spam it over multiple units, too. It doesn't have to be just simply on one unit. It's not an upkeep, so he could cast it up to two times. I do think, though, Arus 2 Artifice Deviation is not as good anymore as it used to be. One, it did get nerfed, but the other reason is it used to be just a way to block charge lanes, giving some rough terrain, and everyone seems to be kind of shoving terrain answers into their lists.
Yeah, it doesn't work yeah.
I mean,
that well.
Even Arus brings Pathfinder to himself, and I don't know.
When it, in the cover aspect of it is kind of mitigated a little bit in this list when you just have a lot of bodies. And, it, I mean, something, it's not like you can sit a lot of high-value models in there. It's just, okay, I've got a few Iron Fangs maybe in cover, but there's all of these other Iron Fangs that are not in cover that you can shoot.
Instead. Yeah, and their defense got dropped in this edition to 12, so They get up to six teams, which is respectable, but it's not crazy.
Sure. I mean, that's a big aspect to them as a whole. If you're not doing something to protect them, you're probably going to lose them. They do have on their base self without shield, shield wall, which they bring, or anything like that. They do have just 12, 14 stats there. But the big thing for me is I played a lot of Iron Fangs in Mark II, but going up to Mat 7.
Yeah, that's huge.
That just really turned them on. This was your elite infantry, well-trained infantry, in melee, and they probably should have always been Mat 7.
Well, now they're Mat, you know, there can be Mat 8 as well. So your defense 14 heavies are not safe anymore.
No.
Against these guys.
Not at all. Yeah, no, it's pretty good there. So what about second caster here? So I feel like there's one that I wanted to talk about because it's one of my favorite casters that I've ever played.
Oh, well, then I'm picking a different one than you, but go for it.
Okay, wait, does this mean we're doing three for this one?
No, that's okay. That's all right.
Did you want to say yours anyways?
Okay, Strakov 2, which is, I'm very surprised that this was not Adam's, but keeping it short, he brings an armor buff.
More armor!
So, inviolable resolve. He does bring a damage buff and hit buff with last stand. It's costly since you have to make attacks, and if you have to make attacks, you have to remove the models at the end of the turn.
But it is only if you make attacks.
Only if you make attacks. Cute. He has a armor feat as well that gives him tough. So your Iron Fangs, even outside of shield wall, go up to armor 17, so it does keep them, even outside of shield wall, pretty safe against those Pow-10 guns. But and then in shield wall, they're pretty much all but invulnerable to Pow-10 shooting for a turn. Even Pow-12 shooting at that point is very bad against them. He also has Quicken, so he's got a speed buff, which is kind of unique. This is pretty terrifying on Ulans.
Almost too far on Ulans. You almost want to put it on something else.
Yes, it's almost too. It makes him too fast.
Yeah, just so that your rest of your army can keep up with Ulans.
But yeah, it makes those Iron Fang pikemen threat, 13 inches on the charge with Quicken on them.
I just want to watch somebody put Last Stand on Ulans.
Sure.
Did it just take out a Signar? Battle engine.
And actually last stand on something like a 12-point juggernaut, not so terrible. I mean, if you have to remove your juggernaut from the table at the end of the turn, if you kill, an 18-point heavy or more.
Well, not only just that, just if it's getting shot to pieces and let's say an arm's out on it or something.
Yeah, right.
You can now make it back to being relatively viable, because what was it going to do? Sit around, kill nothing with the arm out, and then now you put this on, it's back to normal, and then it's going to die next round anyways, but okay, fine. Don't care.
I put it on a full health destroyer one time to kill a caster and missed all three attacks.
Well, that's Adam Dice.
True.
This is what happens.
But I was like, aww. I just removed 14 points for you. Here you go, buddy.
Yeah, that's a little rough, but
most people it works. Just not you, apparently.
Also, well, we're going with this one. We might as well keep talking about this one. I'll just say I won't go into the detail.
Well,
no, we're going to switch. But I just wanted to mention that is one of the casters that has a arm buff spell that is not just for infantry.
Right. Sure. That's big. That's a big deal.
Huge.
Yeah.
Arm 22, Kator Jacks, really something to
do. It's not one of. It is the only.
Yes.
Billy, were you going to mention a Rusk 1?
Yeah. All right. I love a Rusk 1 and Mark 2.
He's the only caster with Inhospitable Ground anymore, right?
I think that's right, yeah. He did keep Inhospitable Ground. I guess that somebody has to have something along those regards. But he is the quintessential infantry buffing caster. He does have one spell superiority for Jax. It gives it +2 speed, mat, and defense. It can't be knocked down. But he also brings so much to the Iron Fang. Talking about armor buffs, he has one that, which is Iron Flesh, which is +2 armor. Does not suffer blast damage for these guys. Inhospitable ground, just not only are you countercharging, but now as things move in, it's a lot harder for them with the rough terrain. Maybe inhospitable ground right now is not as good. He brings Battle Lust as well, and then he has 2 nukes, grind, and Airbus. But Battle Lust basically giving pseudo Weapon Master.
Right.
Is huge, but now that was what he had in Mark II, but now he also has a pseudo spell list as well, where once a round he can give a unit Pathfinder. He could let those units stand up, which isn't as important for Iron Fangs because of the Covenants that they bring, but he also can give them reposition, which can allow you to really protect your Iron Fangs or shave off the front line and get a little bit deeper into your opponent, especially during what is probably the biggest aspect of him, and that is his feat turn. Arus's feat turn gives +2 to attack rolls, which is nice to friendly faction warrior models. Can't be knocked down. We already said that that's not happening a lot to Iron Fangs, but then they give him tough, and not only just tough, but it's tough in the original form so they can't be knocked down, and okay, it's 50% instead of 33%. So any four, five, or six, they do not die. They did change feet a little bit. It does count for only models that are within it. In Mark II, it was model units, so you just had to touch one dude in the whole unit for them to be able to get it. But it is pretty strong, and you have a wall of dudes that Arusk is hiding behind. But I just don't know. And maybe I'm missing something. I don't know why this caster isn't played more. It might be kind of a situation of riches in the sense that Kador has so many competitive casters, in my opinion. But and no one's really picked him up, at least nobody in our area or tournaments that we've been going to. But
thankfully.
Yeah. He feels like he provides everything. Damage buff, it to hit buff, protection for his troops.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a theme that fits better for him than the Iron Fang theme.
Also, a really kind of interesting trick is the Black Dragons have sidestep. So you hit something, move 2 inches, and then repo another 3.
So you can be 5 inches away from the thing that you killed last.
Uh-huh.
So you could use it as a defensive measure by going backwards.
Yep.
Yeah, you could easily do that. Why not?
Yeah. This list definitely has some things it doesn't want to see, but things like lists with a lot of control aspects, like anything that shuts down, prevents charging, reduces speed in some instances. Rebuke sucks for this list.
Yeah, it can, pretty bad. But he is bringing enough units that it might not be as.
Yeah, it's not awful. One unit that hates rebuke, though, is the Ulans. They are very sad when they get rebuked.
Isn't that just cowardly as a whole, though?
Especially Ulans, though. Because they just don't get to use their lance.
Oh, that's right. They have the stupid lance rule.
Right. Spells like Wall of Fire, anything that causes corrosion or continuous fire is always excellent. So, yeah. Like Venom, you know, Frightmares out of Grimkin. Problem.
Rebuke in general, I just, in Kador, I kind of want to cry.
Yeah, there's some things that this doesn't want to play against, but it's a very strong. You also need to have an answer for countercharge, some way to mitigate it. I mean, you can't just go sending heavies in and let them get countercharged by mat 8 or 9 weapon masters that have precision strike.
So, right. Yeah, no, there's definitely things for it. But it just feels like he is extremely strong in that regard. The big one for me is that on your feat turn, you don't need to use like the Black Dragon's Iron Zeal and those sorts of things. You can go ahead and wait on those, and then you're basically getting 2 rounds of protection for your units instead of one round of protection for it. Because there's just no reason to ever use that on the feat turn
with it. So talk about Wolves of Winter.
Yeah, and then, last but not least, and I'm not sure if any of us are too excited kind to talk about this list, but yes, the last one would be Wolves of Winter.
Adam, do you want
to... I'm sorry. I'm flipping to my phone, so I...
It's okay.
All right. Wolves of Winter. Kador Warcasters, non-character Warjacks, Doom Reaver models and units, Grey Lord models and units, Battle Mechanic units, and War Dog solos. This army can include one mercenary solo and one mercenary unit that will work for Kador. These models can be included even if they have the Partisan Kador special rule. Mercenary units in this army can include attachments. For every full 20 points of Grey Lord and Doom Reaver models/units in this army, you can add one Kador command attachment or one smaller medium-based Kador solo to the army free of cost. Free models do not count towards the total point value of Grey Lords and Doom Reaver models/units in the army when calculating the bonus. At the beginning of each of your control phases, choose one non-warcaster, Doom Reaver, or Grey Lord unit to gain Apparition that turn. During your control phase, place models with Apparition anywhere completely within two of their current location. Only models in formation can be placed. Friendly models and units can begin the game affected by the upkeep spells of models in this army. These spells and their targets must be declared before either player deploys any models. Models in this army do not have to pay to upkeep their spells during the first turn of the game.
So, I have a list for this.
Oh, good.
What?
It's not mine. One of the Canadian guys, Matt, who I'm hoping that, you know, we'll meet. I think he's an Ontario guy, so I'm sure we'll probably meet him at some point.
Okay.
Played a Wolves of Winter list at the ATC. I can't remember his exact record with it, but it seemed interesting, and I could get the concept. He played Vlad II with the Demolisher, Kodiak, two Forge Seers, Saxon Auric, four units of Doom Reavers, one with the Grey Lord Escort, a min unit of Outriders, and then a unit of Kazi Eliminators.
Okay.
I've heard about this list, actually.
Yeah. It doesn't have a ton of models, but the ones that are there are really high quality. The Doom Reavers being POW 12 Weapon Master with MAT 7 and Berserk. I mean, you can clear the Doom Reavers, feel, you know, both your infantry clearing roles and can take down heavies quite easily. And one of the units, if you want, they can get Apparition, you know, if you want to have them be your Apparition target at the start of the turn.
Okay.
Vlad 2 seems like a pretty good choice, I think, with this list. Because Vlad 2's feat, I think, is one of the main reasons why it seems excellent. Giving D3 plus 3 friendly faction non-character models plus 3 speed, strength, mat, rat, def, and arm for a round is pretty sweet on those Doom Reavers. Making them mat 9, or sorry, speed 9, mat 10, def 16, arm 17, and, you know, POW 15 weapon masters.
That's pretty strong.
On, you know, possibly a full unit, plus maybe another guy if you roll high enough, but like a full unit of Doom Reavers on average.
Well, something's got to make the thing sweet. They're, in my opinion, still in the victim stat range, and are probably one of the most overcosted units in the game. 13 points for 6 guys, so you're paying for more than 2 points per infantry guy. And they lost a POW from their Mark II version.
So Vlad II also has a sale, so he has a free charge, slam and trample, power attack with a jack, and plus 2 inches of movement for that. That's one benefit. The other two big things he brings the list, though, are Hand of Fate, on one of your units. I think I could see that going on the min unit of Outriders quite frequently.
No, I can't go on the Doom Reavers.
So yeah, I mean you could put it on some of the other stuff, but it's probably the Outriders. They're the main target. You might put them on like Eliminators or something later on, but Arcane Might is excellent with the Doom Reavers when they can actually connect. Vlad being able to spend his focus to boost their attack or damage rolls as needed.
Especially with Berserk.
Yeah, with Berserk. So you can spend their focus to make sure they clear out infantry, or even on turns when they didn't get to charge, he could make them four dice damage. I think the reasoning behind this is that this kind of list is a textbook like Crix drop, especially when Ghost Fleet is getting a lot less popular, because Crix is going to be running at you more and more with melee models.
Even with Ghost Fleet, though, it's certainly still reasonable-ish, right? It's got heavy hitting magic attacks with the Doom Reavers Fell Blades.
Yeah, and they're fast, especially with his feet. I mean, you could play this against other stuff, though, too. I mean, having a bunch of defense 16, armor 17 Doom Reavers in your face on a turn is pretty scary.
Yeah, I do like Arcane Might for this. Just the ability to boost it if you're not charging, or boost the hit if it's something really high defense that needs to die. I think that's pretty good.
I really like this list. I just think it's well thought out. He also has a cool, a cool spell with Wind Blast. Putting a 5-inch AoE down, and the models in it can't make ranged attacks. That's pretty good, obviously, but it also gives this list an answer to Cloud Walls.
Yeah, the ability to remove Cloud Walls so that you can charge the Doom Reapers in seems...
Yeah, that's something that you would otherwise really struggle with.
We're starting to see more and more clouds on as terrain features on the board as well, not just walls. We just got back from Paul and I did for the Ontario Team Championship, some practice rounds with some of the guys in Rochester, New York. And the tables were just filled with at least one, if not two, clouds apiece. I actually played on one where it had three clouds on it. That made it for some awkward angles.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nice to have an answer to something like Veil of Mists, Trencher Cloud Wall or something. I mean, that spell just knocks three clouds off the board from a Trencher Cloud Wall. Assuming he can get those three clouds in his control range.
Cold Grandma,
another one where that spell's going to be
Grandma.
Pretty good. Not going to use it every game, but very useful.
Right. It's never bad, I guess, is the
the
key there. And by taking away range attacks, it definitely definitely allowed it to be opened up a little bit more as a spell when it was just take away clouds before. In Mark II, it was a lot harder to use. Now you have something that in almost every game will at least is an option for you. Whether you use it or not, I guess, is a different...
Yeah, and Vlad's somewhat hard to kill if he wants to be. When he takes damage, he's going to be armor 18 as soon as he's taken damage. Because of Might of Kings, right. It's a interesting list, and we just haven't seen much of Wolves of Winter. So,
I think part of that is our main Cator player, which is Adam, doesn't play it. So
yeah, I mean this list particularly. You have to own four units of Doom Reavers, and I think a lot of people who owned that many units of Doom Reavers sold a lot of them off. At some point, an earlier point in Mark III.
Right, because they had them for Butcher Tooth's theme in Mark II. I know I had six units at one time, and then you get rid of them. But for me, I got rid of Cator as a whole, but nonetheless.
I actually still don't own any Doom Reavers.
Yeah, the only one you own is on a horse.
Yeah.
Which actually wasn't even in his list, was it?
No, Saxon Orc is in there. I'm guessing just because Fenris is very expensive.
He is.
So. And I mean, he provides relentless charge, but you can pay 4 points for Saxon Orc and get Pathfinder where you need it anyways.
Right. Exactly. And he's not free, so. All right. Well, what else? Is there another caster we want to look at?
Austin, Zarkova 1.
Zarkova 1?
Yes.
Interesting.
Why
Zarkova 1?
Mostly because her inability, or her built-in ability to do cloud walls.
Okay.
So you can hide stuff right on the other side of the cloud wall, and if they do decide to walk through the cloud wall, you know, the things you're hiding are getting kind of a +2 because the clouds make a -2 to your map, or to hit. So you get almost a +2 defense by hiding stuff just on the other side.
That's fair.
And if it's Doom Reavers, they're go up to defense 15.
Yeah. She, her feat is awesome, too. You know who doesn't care about your cloud wall is Vlad, too.
Yeah, I try to stay out of doing the mirror as much as possible.
The Wolves of Winter mirror match that's so prevalent all over the place.
No, but Adam has got a flavor of the IFP mirror match at the Michigan Cup this year. So his team dropped him into that mess.
Yes, do you enjoy spending 2 hours rolling dice? And
that wasn't the team tournament. That was the day before. That was the singles qualifier.
Oh, I got that wrong. Okay. Well, still,
it was... I had a minute and, 5 seconds, and he ran out of time.
Yeah, so that game was literally down to the wire?
Yeah, and neither of us were anywhere close. I had, one more control point. I was the only one who's not won.
That seems like one of those mirror matches where, people walk by and, point and laugh, and they're like, ha! Yeah. I'm glad you guys had to play against one another.
Because everybody went to lunch, and I had to play through it.
Yeah, right. I remember watching part of that game, and you guys just grinding the game out for 2 hours, exactly, until, both your clocks basically expired.
Yeah, because I was playing Strakoff, and no one died, and he was playing Irusk 2, and no one was dying. It was just beat each other and do nothing.
Right.
So do we want to sum up how we feel about Kador?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Why don't we have Adam go last, since he's the Kador player? For me, it's pretty simple. Kador's a really good starter faction. It's straightforward in a lot of aspects, though it doesn't have more depth than it seems if you really get into the faction itself. With it, I think the big thing is, and why some people I've heard call it boring, is for the fact that what Kador does special than any other faction in my mind is they buff their base stats. They have some of the best base stats that exist in the game, mat wise, pow wise, everything, before you start adding buffs to them. So by doing that, that is one of their specialties with it. And I do feel like we're going to see a surge of Kador with Ghost Fleet being gone. I think the other Crick's answers, they can come up with things that will help them out, like this Vlad 2 list that you're talking about, those sorts of things with it. So I do think we're going to start seeing Kador turn back around, and all of a sudden it might surprise people because it's been gone for so long, at least not in our group because we have Adam, but in a lot of groups, and then all of a sudden surge back in the competitive scene.
Yeah, I think Kador, as Billy said, it's a great starter faction, but it's weird because I think if I look at Kador in a vacuum, it's really, really scary to think about dealing with all these different things, you know, the Urusks, and how do you deal with Legionist deal with Urusk, and then Karchev with all of his jacks, and the Winter Guard list with Old Witch, how do you deal with all of these things? But then in any given event, at least a two-list event, you're only going to run up against two of them, so you might be able to dodge that you're going to run against a Kator player who's going to have maybe Karchev and Old Witch, but not have Legion of Steel or Legion of Steel and someone in Winter Guard command, but you're not going to see the eight jacks. So it doesn't seem to ever really turn out to be as scary. I love playing against Kator too, just because they're very, I mean, straightforward is seems like derogatory, but they're not going to trick you all that much. But they will just
steal with their counter.
They can, but they will just run you over if you're not prepared or if you make mistakes. I mean, if you put things in the wrong spot, they'll charge it with three infantry models in Legion of Steel and kill it, for example. But I do think we're going to a three-list Masters event, the Southern Ontario Open, in a couple months. And I think Kator is especially scary in a three-list environment when they can play maybe one of each theme and give you the option of Legion of Steel, a bunch of Jacks, and Winter Guard to deal with, when they can actually bring all three of what I think are their strongest options at once.
I think Kator is in a really good place right now. Mostly what I see out of them is the ability to hit hard, take the alpha most of the time. Unless I'm running Winter Guard Command, I can usually kind of dull that. But what you need to do is you need to make a list that either you're giving out just a little bit, almost to make it seem worth it for them to charge you, and then countercharge with the rest of your force. Or just be able to take it in the face, say, well, you didn't kill me, and now I have to represent and kill you back. But if I don't kill you back that second time, usually you just lose, because by that time you just worn yourself down enough. I think a big thing with them is right now they're very middle of the road, in my opinion. They're middle to upper in some of the factions. But I think with the new Man of War theme, when that comes out, you're going to see some very interesting lists that people are not prepared for. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, so that's kind of our theories and feelings on Kator as a whole. I think we're going to call this one here. I'd like to thank you for listening to Science Importance. You can find us on the Muse on Minis Network, and I urge you to like us on Facebook for updates. But for now, this is Bill.
Adam,
Paul,
have a good night.